Hello, nature lovers. Welcome to the Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy podcast. This is a podcast about wildlife, habitats, and happenings right here in Loudoun County, Virginia, with ideas and activities for you to get outdoors and explore nature. I'm Nicole Hamilton, and this is episode number 12. Today we're going to talk about foxes, red foxes and gray foxes. Then I'll give you a quick update on upcoming programs and activities that we have planned for the upcoming weekend. So, when I first moved to Waterford, we had a fox that would come every morning through our yard and even sit on our front porch steps sometimes. Over the years, we got to hear the mating calls and even saw the young a few times. It was pretty neat. We also have a number of rabbits that live in and around our thickets that are all over our neighborhood, so I think the foxes probably had a pretty good supply of food. In recent years, though, we haven't seen the foxes very often, and I wonder if it's because there have been more dogs in the neighborhood or if something else has changed. But in any case, I keep an eye out for them. And actually, a couple of weeks ago, I did see both a red fox and a gray fox, and that kind of gave me the idea for this podcast. So, let's see, before I launch into some cool fox facts, let's chat about concerns people sometimes have about foxes. Once or twice a year, stories appear in local newspapers about a rabid fox, and indeed, they do carry rabies on occasion. They're one of the vector species. But no need to panic if you do see a fox in the daytime. It's actually not that unusual to see a fox out during the day, and there are a few reasons for this. The first is that foxes are opportunistic feeders, meaning that they'll hunt for food as opportunity presents itself, regardless of whether it's daytime or nighttime. Foxes eat squirrels, for example, and squirrels are only active during the day, except for our flying squirrel, of course. But in any case, they mostly eat the regular gray squirrels that we see running about. So if you do see a fox outside during the day, it's most likely in pursuit of a squirrel, a small rodent, like, I don't know, maybe a mouse or a vole, or some other sort of daytime food source. Another reason is that lactating females need to replenish their energy, and they'll go out and search for food during the day while their infant cubs are asleep. Another reason for a fox to be out walking about is that they may be looking for a den. Perhaps the one that they were in, or you know, their preferred den site had some sort of happening, tear it down or something like that happened to it, and they were maybe recently evicted. Perhaps they had a den that was under a porch or a shed, or perhaps part of some natural habitat where they dwelled was destroyed. So in any case, they can get evicted from their lovely dens, and they may be out looking at and trying to find a new spot. As cubs grow up, they'll also start wandering around and straying from their den while their parents are out foraging for food. You know how kids can be. So sometimes we can see the foxes out during this time, too. Sometimes people get frightened because foxes seem to exhibit a sort of brazenness by not running away when they see you. And this doesn't actually mean that the animal is sick. Foxes may habituate to humans because food sources are available, such as cat food that's left on porches, or repeated contact, like seeing you when you're out and about, as you're filling the bird feeders or something like that. If you are afraid of a fox that's maybe just sitting there watching you or something, you can teach it to be a little bit more wary by making loud, scary noises, maybe even banging metal pot lids together if you need to, or if it's a really a brazen fox, you could always squirt it with a hose in its hindquarters. Never on the front, though, because that's not nice. Abnormal behavior in foxes, which you would want to be concerned about, is something that is probably a little bit more obvious. For example, the fox might be falling down, going around in circles, biting itself, or convulsing. Those are more the signals to look for if you've got a sick animal. Many foxes also suffer from mange, which is a common and pretty debilitating mite infestation that foxes and other wildlife can get. Mange is actually a parasite that burrows into the skin of the animal, causing fur loss and sores from the scratching, and it can cause a crusty film to get created over the mouth and the eyes and the nose. And sometimes people are confused by seeing this crusty film, thinking that it's really foaming at the mouth, which it's actually not. So it can appear to look worse than it is. However, mange is a bad thing, but it can be treated. And it's something that it's not transmissible to humans, so that's good to know. But animals that are affected with mange are usually hungry and often are seen out during the day, unafraid of people because they're just so hungry searching for food. The condition doesn't indicate rabies, and it's easily treated. Treatment can restore the animal to health within a short time, and wildlife rehabbers can probably help with it. If you happen to see a situation where you see a fox that has mange or something, you could call the Wildlife Rescue League that's in Virginia, and they have a great website with their telephone number on it. Calling the animal control for the county is most likely going to result in the fox being killed, so I'd call the Wildlife Rescue League first and resort to calling animal control only if Wildlife Rescue League recommends that. So here's just one more little tidbit on rabies. I feel like I have to talk about the rabies thing because people get so freaked out over it. According to the Center for Disease Control, from 1980 through 1998, 25 people out of, how many do we have in the United States now? Around 300 million people. So 25 out of somewhere around 300 million or 250 million, something like that. Actually died of rabies as a result of exposure to animals in the United States. No humans have actually died from raccoon or fox variants of rabies in the United States. So keep that in mind. There's always all this hype on the news about rabies and things like that, and it's something that we need to be aware of, but not to freak out over. So anyway, that's my little tidbit on that. Some folks also get worried about foxes attacking children and cats. However, a fox that only weighs about 12 pounds is pretty unlikely to attack a cat. In most houses, I know here at our house, our cats probably would outweigh the fox. Our cats are well-loved, should I say. they all stay indoors too, which is where good cats should stay, since cats have a negative impact on our local wildlife. If a child approaches a fox, the fox would most likely flee as fast as it could. So again, probably not something to be too concerned with. If you do have the good fortune of having foxes on your property or nearby, it's a great privilege. Foxes play a huge role in the control of the rodent population, since a major food source for them is mice and voles and rabbits, although they also will eat fruits and also insects. And really nothing more is more rewarding than watching fox cubs venturing out for the first few times. It's a brave new world outside the den. Watching them chase grasshoppers and bugs or engaging in mock battles is quite a delight. It's just really fun. When we had our fox family living with us, I remember seeing one of the parents go off in search of food, leaving the cub at the side of our driveway next to some bushes, and it was just so cute. It would sit there and just look around and, you know, play with its tail and other things and just be a little goofball. So very cute. Foxes really cause no damage or mischief, and they'll keep rats and mice away while they're in residence on your property. Often foxes can be seen in fields pouncing stiff-legged on small rodents, and in this regard they're a real benefit to farmers, amply repaying the occasional hen that they might take, because they will do that too. So if you have them in your neighborhood, just enjoy the experience. Okay, so some cool stuff about foxes. Foxes are carnivorous and are common in most parts of the United States. The most commonly occurring foxes are the red fox and the gray fox, and those are the two species that we have here in Loudoun County. Interestingly, due to the color variations in foxes, gray foxes can look quite red and red foxes can be gray. So how the heck do we tell the difference between a red fox and a gray fox? Well, the most accurate way to tell a red fox from a gray fox is by looking at the tail. Red foxes have a white tip at the end of their tail and gray foxes do not. Red foxes are more common in our area as they do pretty well in suburban and urban areas, and they thrive in close contact with humans and other animals. The red fox weighs between 8 to 16 pounds and measures 22 to 25 inches long, not including the tail. Gray foxes are smaller, than the red foxes, and they weigh between 7 and 13 pounds, and they're a bit more stocky with shorter legs than the red fox. Both foxes have a sharp nose, large triangular ears, and of course the requisite bushy tail. Red foxes prefer farmland, wooded lots, and forests with marshes, as well as open fields where there's adequate cover and ample sunlit fields with large populations of mice and voles. The gray fox prefers less populated areas and is usually found in dense woodlands or more dense woodlands near swamps and in other isolated areas. Another interesting thing is that gray foxes are really good swimmers, so keep an eye out for that. In addition to rodents, foxes eat large bugs, eggs, birds, and other small animals. While both red and gray foxes are carnivorous, gray foxes will also eat fruits such as grapes, apples, persimmons, peaches, and juniper berries. And I do remember that when we had our foxes that were coming around a lot, I used to put apples out. And I don't really remember why I was putting apples out. I got them at Southern States. They had a bag of apples. So, I don't know, being the nature gal I am, I decided I might as well put these outside. Because they were sold right next to the corn, which also went outside. So anyway, they seem to really like their apples. Sometimes foxes don't eat their catch all at once, but instead they'll hide it under a rock or under leaves or in snow banks or under stacks of brush so that they can come back and get it later. Breeding season for the gray fox begins in December and peaks in early February. A little bit different from that is the red fox, which has its breeding season starting in January and going through February. So a little bit of an overlap there, but the gray fox starts sooner. Both species of fox are monogamous and they mate for life. So that's interesting too to know. Foxes tend to start denning when the young are born, which is in about March or April, and they usually abandon the den by the end of the season, although they might use the den in the off-season during a really harsh winter in order to stay out of the really bad weather. When the winter weather is simply uncomfortable but not really harsh, they'll use brush piles and fallen logs to rest under. Most dens are used year after year, and new dens are usually holes that are made by other creatures that use ground dens and burrows. Another thing to note is that foxes will mark the entrance of their dens, which they is referred to as their earth, and they do the marking by rubbing their tails. They have scent glands that they rub on the ground as they enter and exit the dens. The dens that are underground usually have more than one entrance and have well-disguised escape holes. Sometimes they'll make a den under a porch or a deck, and in this case, it's really best to let them be until their cubs are old enough to hunt for food on their own or with their parents, and only then, after the babies are all out, then, if you need to, you could set up something to exclude them from re-entering the area. If a fox den is absolutely must be removed from an area due to some sort of impending danger to the foxes, for example, if the den is located near a construction site, harassment strategies will encourage the animals or the foxes to abandon their den. You could place some dirty, smelly, sweaty socks or some rags sprinkled with strong-smelling household cleaner such as ammonia onto or around the entrance to the den, and this would make the foxes uncomfortable and encourage them to find a new den site. However, it's probably important to keep in mind that it's not that easy a task to find and excavate a suitable denning site, so the foxes may try hard to stay at their original location for lack of a better place to go. So it's important to keep an eye out for the fox dens and really take some good judgment in determining whether or not the den needs to be moved or if it can just be left alone until the cubs have gone on their way. And just remember that the presence of a fox den near your property doesn't indicate any sort of danger to you or your family or your animals, your dogs or your cats. The inhabitants of the den should really be encouraged to leave only if there's some sort of impending danger to the foxes. A lot of people, after they learn that their fear was misplaced, come to find that having the fox den near their property is really one of the most incredible little photo opportunities that they can have. So best thing to do is just figure out the behaviors of your fox friends and pick up a camera and see if you can get some really cute fox shots. So let's see. It's January and breeding season has begun for our foxes, so we should probably talk a bit about that. The female fox, which is also called a vixen, will be pregnant for about 53 days, and the average litter size is about 4 to 5 cubs. They're born in a whelping den, one of several dens that the vixen maintains on her range. Both the red and the gray fox will dig out their dens, but they'll also use abandoned groundhog and rabbit burrows. And here's a fun fact. Gray foxes are the only animal in the canid family, which includes wolves, dogs, and coyotes, that's able to climb. And they can often be found high up in a tree, sunning or trying to escape predators. And for the gray foxes, while they'll use earth burrows, they also den at least 20 feet up in hollows of trees, which again, here we are with the benefit of leaving dead trees and snags standing. You might have a little fox den up there. But they'll also use abandoned hawk nests, so that's kind of interesting to know. Fox cubs are born blind and deaf, and they weigh about 3 ounces, and that's pretty little. They have short black hair and don't look like foxes at all. The fox vixen stays with the cubs for, in the case of the red fox, for about 2 weeks, only leaving the den in order to eliminate. During this time, she relies on her mate to bring food. The gray fox vixen will stay in the whelping den with her cubs for the first 4 days. After the fourth day, a short dark fur with russet patches starts to emerge on the babies, and then their eyes start to open. This is usually around day 12 or day 10, and the fur becomes a little bit darker, and they'll get red patches on their bellies. Red fox eyes open between days 11 and 14, so a little bit later, and their eyes, when they open, are pale blue. Their sight is pretty poor, but the cubs start moving around in the den during this early period. After the first 2 weeks, both fox parents hunt and forage and bring food back to the cubs. In the beginning, the food is regurgitated or torn up for consumption so that they can eat it. When the fox cubs are about 3 weeks old, they become active, and at 4 or 5 weeks of age, they go out on short forays with the vixen and begin to play or lie in the sun. Both the red and the gray foxes are usually weaned at about 8 weeks of age. And when they are about 3 months old, they'll begin eating solid food provided by their parents and start to hunt with their parents, going off for the hunting adventures. The cubs will start to look like foxes when they're about 8 weeks old, with a long snout and long pointed ears. Until that time, they look more like kittens than foxes, which is interesting considering they're more closely related to dogs. When the fox cubs are 4 months old, they will have the appearance and behavior of adults, but when they'll only stay with the family for another 3 to 5 months as they're being trained by their parents. At 6 to 9 months of age, the fox cubs are ready for independence. They have hunted with their parents for several months and have developed good hunting skills. They've been focusing on chasing grasshoppers and other bugs, and later practicing on mice. Intensive play with siblings and mock battles also prepare them for adulthood during this time. By September or October, the cubs weigh around 8 to 9 pounds, and they start to disperse. Male cubs seek new territory further away than the female cubs. Often the female cubs will actually stay close to the original birth den and assist their mothers in rearing another season's cubs, so they might stay together for a little bit longer. Foxes hunt alone and live as pairs or in small family groups. A family group may include a number of unmated females who help care for the young in the den while the mother goes out and forages for food. So that's an interesting little bit about their society. And there's some great books on the whole fox society, too. I'll tell you about books in a little bit. The territories for the red fox can be as small as 25 acres or up to 8 miles square. And yes, even in urban settings, they have this kind of range. A lot of people don't realize that there are actually foxes all around, even in cities, so that's kind of interesting. The territory for the gray fox varies from up to 100 to 2,000 acres, depending on the health of the habitat. And like we talked about earlier, they have a little bit different needs and preferences in terms of the habitat that they look for as gray foxes. Both red and gray foxes have a pretty high mortality rate. Disease or human activity, such as trapping and hunting, as well as being hit by cars, takes a pretty heavy toll on them. Both can live up to 14 years in captivity, but mortality in the first year can be as high as 80%, and less than 14% actually live to breed for as many as 4 years. So not that many survive after, and they don't have that the litters aren't that large. I guess for the average age of an older fox, one that makes it through those first few years, they'll make it to about 6 to 8 years old. And just a little bit of a tidbit about their bark. The gray fox is said to have a louder bark than the red fox, and foxes also squeal and growl. And one more little thing to impress your friends. Males are said to yelp while females yap. So next time you hear a fox, you can be the judge of who's yelping and who's yapping. So I guess that's about all the information I have on foxes, but I wanted to pass on also some great books in case you'd like to learn more or are building up your nature book collection. There are three really good books by J. David Henry that are quite good. The first is called Living on the Edge, Foxes. Another book is called How to Spot a Fox, and it has some really good information about not only fox tracks and signs, but also a lot about their behaviors and society and things like that. And the third, also by Mr. Henry, is called Red Fox, the Cat-Like Canine. So some good reference materials if you want to learn more about our backyard wildlife. Okay, so let's see. Now for an update on our programs and activities. This coming Saturday, January 17th, we have our Searching for Birds of Prey field trip. This is a really fun outing where we drive through the back roads of Loudoun looking for all sorts of different raptors. We'll certainly see a number of red-shouldered hawks and red-tailed hawks, no doubt some kestrels, probably some bald eagles, and maybe a harrier. And I know that there's been some scouting around, so hopefully we'll be seeing an owl or two as well. We'll carpool for this outing so we can talk about the birds as we drive, and you'll just want to bring binoculars if you have them, but we'll also have spotting scopes on hand. Space is limited for this field trip since we don't want to have too much of a caravan with our cars. So if you're interested, you'll want to sign up soon and definitely come on out with us. Then on Sunday the 18th, we have a great family walk that we call Sunday in the Preserve over at Banshee Reeks. And this is a really great nature walk where we'll look for animal signs, ID as many sort of birds that we can, talk about plants in winter, and any other nature topics that come up along our way. No sign-up is needed for the Sunday in the Preserve, but you can check our website for more information at www.loudonwildlife.org. So I guess that wraps it up for this episode of our podcast. I hope you've enjoyed listening and learning all about our local foxes. They're a pretty neat backyard neighbor, and we should be starting to hear them if you're not already hearing them now and then at nighttime, calling to each other, yelping, yapping, whatever. And so I hope you'll tune in again next time as we chat about other great aspects of our nature and our local environment. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you along the trails.